Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Meg. Good week, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Good to be here.
We've got an unusual poem this week. To begin with, I often give a little bit of background about the medical condition, but I'm actually going to give a little bit of background about chewing gum, which will become obvious why I'm doing this in a second. Chewing gum, traditionally made from an ingredient called achicul, also now moved to synthetic rubbers, was invented in the early 1880s. Although there are reports that Greeks used a substance that is very similar to chewing gum. Early American settlers made a type of chewing gum from spruce sap and beeswax. It wasn't until 1848 that a guy named John Curtis made and sold the first commercial chewing gum. It was called the State of Maine Pure Spruce Gum. It was widely disseminated in the United States throughout the period. He was followed by a guy named Tom Adams, who attempted to use chewing gum to make all sorts of products. One day in the late 1800s, 1869, he popped a piece of this surplus stock in his mouth and sort of liked the taste. He began to add mint to it. In 1871, Adams' New York gum went on sales in drugstores, and it wasn't very long after that Wrigley developed the mint brand, William Wrigley. Lots of tales about chewing gum. An old wives' tale claims that chewing gum, if swallowed, may take up to 7 years to become fully digested, and that swallowing gum could also result in the substance becoming lodged in the esophagus or more distally and block up digestion. Again, very little data to support this. Now, what does this have to do with a poem? Well, some very clever, creative researcher asked the question, does chewing gum hasten recovery and shorten hospital stay after colorectal surgery? Mark, what did these authors find?
Yeah, this one really came out of the blue for me. I had no idea that there was even any literature on this. And as you said, post-op ileus is an important cause of delayed hospital discharge after abdominal surgery. Patients are sitting around waiting to fart, and you know they may be perfectly fine otherwise, but they have to pass that first exciting episode of flatus. So these investigators thoroughly searched all of the key databases, Medline, the European EMBASE database, and the Cochrane Controlled Trials Registry, for any controlled trials that compared adding daily chewing gum to the standard post-op management after colorectal surgery. They also, again, manually reviewed reference lists and meeting abstracts. They only included English language trials, so we don't know if there were any missed because of the language issue. But otherwise, very strong meta-analysis. Two independent reviewers looked at each study. They rated the quality of the studies. And in the end, they found 5 randomized controlled trials with 158 patients. Three of them, though, had good quality scores, and so you know, reasonably good. 3 out of 5 were good studies. In each study, the patients got commercially available sugarless gum 3 times a day, and that was started on the first post-op day until the first passage of flatus. The hospital stay was an average of 2.4 days shorter in the gum chewing group than in the control group. I know it's crazy. This is crazy talk.
I mean, if insurance companies knew that they could get patients out 2.5 days earlier,
that's
by giving them a little
bucks.
Bit of sugarless gum.
Yeah, but the gum's really expensive, though, so it probably is a wash.
Right, it's the difference between the cost and the charge.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, there were no differences between the groups otherwise regarding complications or readmission rates or reoperation rates. They actually did look for publication bias again, and just to remind the listeners, that means that there were some studies out in the literature that didn't get into the literature because they were small negative studies, and we editors tend not to like those, so we have a bias against them. And the analysis showed there may have been some missing negative trials, so that's a bit of a red flag there. Statistical results were homogeneous, though, between the 5 studies, which is a good thing. And, you know, it's just remarkable to me. And who knows? Do you have any idea why it might work? Any thoughts?
I have no idea. I mean, the only thing that chewing gum does is work the muscles in the jaw and perhaps increase salivation.
Maybe there's some neurohormonal thing where, your gut is used to, hey, the guy's starting to chew, better activate the gut a little bit, better get things going, get that smooth muscle going because food is about to show up. So, there may be some kind of neurohormonal kind of connection there, and that this is taking advantage of that. But, regardless, this isn't gold standard, absolute perfect research. There were only 5 studies. They were relatively small. But, certainly it's not harmful unless they choke on their gum. I mean, it's not harmful.
Aspiration, that's probably something you want to be very careful of, isn't it?
Yeah. I think if a patient's reasonably alert, there's certainly the safety issue would be, I think, a minimal concern. I mean, I don't think you'd want to give it to somebody who's obtunded or, kind of not with it. But in general, it seems like a pretty safe thing if the patient can handle it.
Well, it's certainly something that, as you said before, is very cheap and doable. And, we ought to tell our colleagues in surgery because we could save an awful lot of resources if we can get patients home.
Yeah, it would be great. And I think would be great to see someone do a really good large study because this is something that should be relatively easy to study. And, I would think, somebody could definitively answer this fairly easily.
I wonder if bubble gum would do even better than non-bubble gum.
There you go.
They have several different
Spearmint versus, Juicy Fruit or whatever, yeah.
This could be big for the Wrigley Company or something.
Could be huge.
Okay, well, thanks, Mark. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
All right, take care, Mike.
Have a good week.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.